Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. March Madness is here. The Vols are balling. Shots are falling. Shots probably being taken out at the bar as well. If you are out celebrating, if you are out enjoying the weather, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. But if you find yourself needing legal representation, or one of your loved ones or someone you know needs legal representation, Marcos Garza and his law firm are the best when it comes to beating DUIs, to getting the best result possible in your case. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 366. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It's tournament time. It's Monday, March 18th. What's up, Seth? How are you?
Not much, John. It's good to hear your voice and see you as usual.
I know. I got so excited when I saw you pop on the website with your camera on for the first time.
I'm here and live and living color.
I feel more connected to you.
I know. It is beautiful. Nice to be able to see you.
How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
How are the vibes down your neck of the woods? Because we followed up the win at Alabama in basketball a couple weeks ago, and we were able to finish the deal against South Carolina at least. But since then, the basketball team, I don't want to say has fallen apart, but it's definitely shit the bed a little bit. And then the baseball team goes down to Alabama and misses a golden opportunity to win a road series.
Yeah, I was angry over the baseball game yesterday than I was over the SEC tournament, because the SEC tournament was so bad. I was just like, okay, just the worst game they've played all year. They just can't beat Mississippi State, whatever. Just, it's over. Everyone else lost too. I mean, whatever. The baseball, they just gagged it away. I mean, Tony just still hasn't learned, apparently. Basketball did suck bad, but at least it was so bad that I could just like turn it off and just forget it happened.
Yeah, about the second Toby Awaka turnover on Friday, you kind of realized, okay, this is just not going to go your way.
Yeah, and it's weird because we've talked about this before, because you've brought up this point. It's been several years that, like, Rick Barnes typically does well in the SEC tournament. I know last year, I guess we didn't win a game in the SEC tournament last year either.
Yeah, I feel like last year was the first time I was disappointed, though.
Yeah, I agree. Normally, Rick's done really well in the SEC tournament. I don't know what to say about Friday, other than, like, I just feel bad when the other team has a big man that can really bang down low. I just feel bad. The vibes are bad.
Yeah, the crazy thing was, I actually thought Adu came out early and was okay. You know, he got to a couple offensive rebounds. It looked like he wasn't going to get punked out. Like I said, it wasn't really until Awaka came in and got just looked completely lost, that the vibes got bad for me. But you are right. I mean, you know, when you look at most of Tennessee's losses this year, it's probably because they were more physical than us, and it starts in the paint.
Yeah.
The good news for me is when I look at the draw, it doesn't feel like you go up against any bruising teams until the Elite Eight. I mean, if you play Edie, of course, Edie's going to be a football game.
You just roll the dice there. I mean, you know, the only other thing that I had to say about Friday is that you have to have something out of the two seniors. I mean, you have to have something. And Josiah hitting the first three takes still feels like the most important thing for me as a team. If he gets his first three to go, then watch out. But they were black holes. I mean, Santi is – I don't even want him to shoot the ball.
It's feeling like Jordan Howell,
yeah,
Chris Lofton, their final seasons. Of course, Lofton was sick, so maybe not fair to make that comparison. But just remember how bad Jordan Howell was his last year. He could just buy a bucket. I keep waiting and hoping that he will snap out of it, but it just looks further gone than ever before.
It somehow he keeps looking worse. For a while, I was kind of the mindset that, okay, if anything, he just needs to get some more shots up. Now I'm like, no.
I just want one time for him to get the ball and make a quick decision. That's all I want. I'm so sick of the jab steps, the pump fakes, the hesitations. Just one time I just wanted to get it and go.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like in football when a running back is dancing around too much and he's going side to side. How about one time you just hit the hole hard? How about one time we kick it to Santi and he either immediately jacks up a three or drives immediately to the lane and does something aggressive? It's always stop and go. It's always herky jerky. It's always pump fake, jab step.
10 million ball fakes. Like,
yeah, like a ball fake that he's not doing anything with. He ball fakes, the defender will jump and he'll just stand there. Like, it's not the purpose of a ball fake. Like, to me, that's the most frustrating thing. I can live with watching Santi miss shots. It's just the hesitation. It just stops the ball, and it's sad. And then eventually he'll do something bad with the ball. It's the most depressing part of it. Like, him and Josiah going out sad together is just sad.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal if it happens like that.
It's crazy to me that, and you know, it didn't really hit me until I fleshed it out and talked about it on the air today, the morning show, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Fox Sports Knoxville. But, like, it feels like we went from a really deep team to all of a sudden we just have, like, three guys, like,
so,
that you can rely on.
I've been thinking about this, and I told my dad this, and this is scary. You have Connect, okay? He's in a league of his own. But other than that, I feel like if Zakai has a bad first half, he's going to turn it around and get you something in the second half. He's not going to give you 40 minutes of subpar play. Eventually, at some point, he is going to get it going. Other than that, there is not a single person on the team that I have confidence in that's going to do that. Like, I feel like with Jonas, it could be 40 minutes of bad. I feel like with the other two, of course it can be. I mean, Zakai, I feel like, is going to give you something. Other than that, now I will say Friday, we had three after three go all the way in and come out. It was maddening.
Yeah, it was to the point where I thought maybe we were going to get some luck on the other end and maybe that rim was just really tight. And then you came out to start the second half and you made a little bit of a push. You're like, okay, yeah, maybe the shots are all going to fall on this side. Mississippi State will miss. And then, nope. Didn't matter. Tennessee missed a bunch of shots on the other goal, too, until it was pretty much over. Then Zakai started raining threes. But
yep. To Mississippi State's credit, they always answered. I mean,
yeah, like it felt like we were one Dalton Connect make away from really putting pressure on them a couple times. And then he would get a top of the three key or that wing three that he likes so much where he's 2 feet off the line. And he just missed every time. And that was really –
why Tennessee could just never make a push. And then, yeah, like you said, Mississippi State would respond. They'd hit a three. They'd get a run out. They'd get a steal. They'd do something. It was frustrating, but your point is correct. Like, I do have confidence that at some point Zakai will show up. Hell or high water, he will be there and and eventually at least give you 15 points.
Zakai's going to get his. He's going to bring it. He's going to be he's going to give you something. Other than that, I mean, it's just I saw your colleague Jordan Moore post some stats about like what Josiah and Josiah and Santi are in their last three games or something. I mean, it's putrid. It's putrid. It's like Santi is such a black hole to me at this point that it completely hinges on Josiah, which is a bad place to be in. We know this.
Yeah.
We know that this is a very bad place to be, but it does to me because Santi just gives you nothing.
Okay, so let's take a time out here. Vibes seem low.
I was about to turn it around.
Yeah, I was going to say the vibes seem low, but that's not exactly how I feel. Like, I think Tennessee should make the Elite Eight, and then we'll see where we're at. Like, that's kind of how I feel about this draw that we have. So, with all that being said, I do think Tennessee got about as good of a draw as you could get. And, you know, I don't worry about either of our opponents leading into the Sweet 16. Now, these might be, famous last words or whatever. And Creighton will be a tough game if Creighton gets there, but at least Kalkbrenner is not a physical bully. He's just tall and lanky.
He's not Tolu Smith, yeah.
Right. He's not Zach Edey. He's not a guy that's going to bang around with you. He's a guy that's going to try to block your shot. He's a great defender. Like, you know, Tennessee's going to have trouble at the rim, but he's also a guy that isn't going to physically dominate a game and physically impose his will.
Agree. I agree with you because I know absolutely nothing about Creighton. So if you say
they're good. They're 11 KenPom. They're top 20, top 30 offense and defense. I mean, they do both. It's just, I don't know. I've only watched them a handful of games this year. I watched them a lot last year. And, you know, I watched them in the conference tournament get bullied by Providence, who I think is a dreadful basketball team. But, of course, Kim English coaches them. He comes from the Rick Barnes tree, that Rick Barnes DNA. Tennessee much more talented than Providence. And I thought that was a really bad loss. In terms of all the bad losses in the conference tournament, I thought Creighton had one of the absolute worst, losing to them.
Yeah.
And they had a little bulldog in the paint that was, you know, was playing pretty well against Kalkbrenner. I don't mind that matchup. So, like, you know, I know we've been negative to start, but, like, I still look and I think Tennessee to the Elite Eight. I don't want to call it a foregone conclusion. I'm not an idiot. But, like, I still feel good about our chances to get there.
I feel like I honestly believe – I have no idea. We could see – well, I won't say that. I would be stunned if we saw Virginia in the round of 32. But, I mean, we could see either Colorado State or Texas. Nothing would surprise me in the round of 32. But I feel like – the draw itself is pretty good. I mean, I think like Drake is a 10 seed. I would not feel good about that. Like Drake seems pretty good to me. I mean, I don't know who's hiring KenPom or whatever, but it just seems on paper and nothing I've seen otherwise has led me to believe that it's not a really good draw. Like the game was so bad on Friday that I was able to turn it off and just forget about it. I didn't watch any of the rest of the SEC tournament. And so last night, watching the selection show, I was able to come back down to earth and just say, like, look, we're the fifth overall seed. This is the second time Tennessee's ever been the fifth overall seed. We're really awesome. Just, we have a season's worth of data to support that we're really good. We've gone on the road and proved it. We've proved it at home. Like,
well, hold on. Because when you say that, it does make me think, like, we haven't been great neutral site so far.
I know.
We've been better on the road than we have neutral site.
You know, we were right there with Purdue. What did we lose to Purdue by? Four?
Yeah, 4 or 5. It was 66, 61, something like that. 67, 62, somewhere around there.
I mean, that game, we could have won that game. You know, I think we're a lot better now than we were then.
Yeah, Zakai could barely play basketball at that point.
Yeah, you know, we did beat the ACC champions on a neutral court.
71-67, Purdue. Sorry.
So I was able to come back down and kind of reassess and be like, okay, we're a 2 seed. We played the worst game of our season by far, in my opinion, against State. The Kentucky game was just, I mean, who's going to beat them when they play like that? UConn? So everything's still right in front of them to achieve what they wanted to achieve. Get to the second weekend. You might not even see Creighton. Dana Altman in Oregon could go on another run. He's a great coach. He's done it before. He beat Iowa that year. They had Luka Garza, and he was a 7 or a 10 seed. I mean, like, he's beaten teams that are a much better seed than him before. You could see Oregon in the Sweet 16. I mean, the whole Purdue and Zach Edey thing, like, they seem the least likely team to ever bank on going far in the tournament because of Painter's issues in the tournament. So, just get a second weekend and roll the dice.
I would almost be more afraid of playing Oregon, honestly. I don't know how much you've watched them, but I just watched their conference championship against Colorado, and I came out of it pretty scared of their center. He does seem like the type of guy that would kind of bully Adu. He was 12 for 12 in their conference championship game.
Okay.
I would almost rather play Creighton than them, just because I'd rather have, you know, the big stick figure of Kalkbrenner out there.
Producer, cut that out, what I said about Oregon. Who is the 6th seed? South Carolina?
Yeah, yeah. How would we feel about our chances against South Carolina? That would be a pretty dreadful game, but I think we'd beat them.
I would love to play them in the Sweet 16. Okay. Because I don't think they're very good.
No, I don't either, but...
But it would suck to lose so bad.
Yeah, we lost to them once, and the second game was somewhat close. I mean, yeah. we were leading the entire time, but we did get to the final minute, and they were shooting to tie the game, I think.
It would be so if we got matched up with South Carolina in the Sweet 16, as soon as we knew we were making the Sweet 16 and that we were playing them, that would be an excruciating 4 or 5 day wait.
I think we'd be pretty fired up, similar to how we were against FAU, which obviously didn't end well for us, but I think we'd have that same level of confidence, but they would be that type of scrappy team that maybe comes in there and outworks you.
Yeah.
Which we didn't respond to well last year. Now, hopefully you got some different mentalities this year. And just for the record, I don't think Oregon's very good. I mean, I don't know if they had to win their conference tournament to get in, but I know like they were talking about firing Dana Altman.
They had to win again.
Yeah, or like, you know, they wanted to have a mutual parting, and he was like, no, I'm staying. Give me my buyout. And then they got hot. So, like, I'm not acting like Oregon is scary, even though they kind of sound like that Oregon State team that kicked our ass in the tournament a couple of years ago, the way I'm describing it. But I was impressed with their big old big man.
Yeah.
But point being, you talked about us being a 5 seed. I know you don't necessarily keep up with the gambling odds and whatnot, but we have better future bets in terms of us making the Sweet 16 and us making the Elite 8 than North Carolina does.
Yeah.
We're not quite in the same, you know, lane as UConn and Purdue, but we're not far behind. We're not that far behind Purdue, and we're ahead of North Carolina. So, like, the draw ended up working out pretty well, us getting the 2 in the Midwest versus having to go out into the West.
Yeah. It was fun to see Stephen Pearl so mad about the 4 seed. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same thing that happened to us. I mean, newsflash, you saw the writing on the wall, at least you should have, 2 years ago when Tennessee played and, you know, ran through Tampa. It's funny to have Stephen Pearl be the one cry about it versus just some fans, but still, he was pretty mad. And they did get screwed, you know, having to go to Spokane. I'd be pretty mad about that too.
Yeah. You know, maybe Auburn should try to have some more quad one wins. That would be my.
Yeah, don't go 3-7. Don't go 3-7 against quad one teams. It was nice that you showed up and won the SEC tournament without having to beat Tennessee or Kentucky or Alabama. Good job.
And Florida without their center.
Yeah, it was a nice Florida win. How, is he going to be out for the tournament? Yeah.
He had ankle surgery, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did he break it?
Yeah, he broke it.
Okay.
I did not see it, but apparently it was awful. I mean, I know ESPN panned the camera away.
Well, I tuned in at halftime, and Jimmy Dykes was, like, you know, doing a eulogy for him. So I assumed it was bad. And then I talked to Cody, you know, a couple hours ago, and he said it was just a rolled ankle. But then I was like, are you sure? He's like, no, not really. So that's the extent of what I knew. So maybe I need to maybe don't take Florida to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight if they're going to be without their center then.
Yeah, he's out for the year. But he's expected to make a full recovery.
Okay. But, yeah, good job, Auburn. Way to beat South Carolina and Mississippi State. We lost to Mississippi State, so good job by you, for, you know, by beating them. And good job. But don't go 3-7 against Quad 1, and maybe you don't have to go to Spokane.
Yeah. I did enjoy the weeping and gnashing of teeth from the other bubble teams. I feel nothing – the Big East not only getting three teams in, okay, maybe those other teams that got left out should try being good at basketball.
Providence sucks. I don't want to hear Providence cry. St. John's, you can tell me about their KenPom rating and how they're 25th in KenPom or whatever it is. I watched them play. They're not very good either.
No, and neither is Villanova. Villanova's terrible.
Villanova sucks. No, I didn't even see people even crying for them after they lost in the conference tournament. But, yeah, like, I have no – would I have wanted to see Rick Pitino play in the tournament? Yeah, maybe, because he's one of college basketball's biggest stars.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to see his team play another second of basketball. I'm good on that.
Yeah, like, I just – some of these teams – I don't have – the bubble sucked. Like, the bubble – like, there were so many bubble – like, how did A&M get an 8 or a 9? You know, like, I just don't feel bad for these teams that don't get in. Like, my – I feel bad for some of the Mountain West teams that got poor seeds that, you know, probably should have gotten better. And I feel bad for Indiana State. Like, I do feel bad for them because basically everything comes down to one game, and that sucks. But again, you know, you don't have any good wins. It is what it is.
Would I have wanted to see Indiana State play? Sure.
Yeah.
Is the tournament that different without them?
No.
No, not really.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I would
don't lose. The week after they got ranked in the top 25, they turn around and had like a quad 3 or quad 4 loss. Don't do that, and you probably get in.
You know, like, you don't get the big man for Indiana State, but you do get DJ Burns. So
I love DJ Burns.
I love him too. Just watching him play defense is amazing.
I probably shouldn't like him since he came to Tennessee and just didn't give a shit, but, you know, maybe he was right. Maybe he's like, hey, coach, just play me for 10 minutes. I'll make an impact. Because when he's in on offense, he is hell for, you know, the 20
it's
minutes
electric.
He's able to. The 20 minutes he's able to play, Big Terrio is out there putting people in the basket.
It's electric. He is electric. He
Ooh,
is.
Kill him.
That's somebody I hadn't thought about in forever is Terrio. Amazing.
Last I saw, he lost a bunch of weight. He was exercising a lot, but I don't know anything outside of that. But DJ Burns putting NC State on his back and carrying them to the championship, I will trade that for the big goofy white guy from Indiana State. I would rather watch DJ Burns.
Absolutely. Other than that, I've mainly have disgust that Virginia got in.
Yeah.
Like, they just shouldn't have been allowed to get in.
Is that just the last gasp of, like, ACC bias?
Maybe. I mean,
that's the only thing it felt like for me was like, hey, yeah, you got a bye. You were one of the top 4 seeds. Yeah, you won a national championship a couple years ago. We'll throw you a bone here because that's the only thing that made sense because they're pretty dreadful too.
Yeah, I know Clemson got a 6 seed, but they're underdogs. Clemson's not even favored in their game.
Nor should they be after watching them play against Boston College. That's the thing. Maybe that's the overarching point, Seth, is like I feel like so many of these teams had such bad endings to their SEC or their ACC or whatever conference they're in, their conference tournaments, like so many schools had a bad ending. Like if I'm Houston, we got boat raced by Iowa State. If I'm Purdue, we choked at the free throw line, couldn't get a stop up 2, and then couldn't get a stop up 1, you know, with the game on the line. We had a charge with 25 seconds left up 1. We couldn't close the door. I'd be worried about that. Of course, Kentucky got ran out. You know, Alabama got ran out. Like Auburn and UConn are kind of the only major teams in Iowa State that could feel good about themselves right now.
Yep. My favorite thing about the Purdue game, the Purdue loss, is that all 9 of their points in overtime came from the free throw line. They did not score a field goal in overtime. 8 of those free throws were from Zach Edey.
Yeah, I didn't realize that stat. I just saw, like, with a minute left or like a minute and a half left, it said that they were 8 for 10 from the free throw line in overtime.
Yep. They did not score a field goal in overtime. I mean, they're disgusting. Purdue is disgusting. The clips, like, whenever I get on Twitter now, I don't even go to, like, the regular timeline. I just stay on my For You page. And, like, it was just so many clips of Zach Edey fouling and not getting called for a foul. It's disgusting.
It's one of those things that you've been waiting all year for it to catch up to them when they get away from Big Ten officiating.
Yep.
I don't know if it actually will, but surely to God, there'll be one game in the first four, you know, counting up until when they'd have to play Tennessee. Surely to God, one of the four games will be properly officiated. And I think if they get a properly officiated game, they'll lose.
Yeah, that being said, I don't really know what to make of Gonzaga. I was surprised they got a 5 seed. It wouldn't be surprising to me if Will Wade beats them, which that was my favorite part of Selection Show. The Selection Show was him, like, with his hands up in the air celebrating.
Looking like Jim Jones.
Yep. Yeah, that was my favorite part. I was just like, Will Wade, man. Will Wade. What can you say? He can just win basketball games. Somebody's going to hire him, surely. He just went 31-3.
Where is McNeese State at?
Somewhere in Louisiana.
Okay. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. Well, I thought maybe Mississippi, but I figured it was down on the bayou somewhere.
He went 30-3 this year. They are in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
They seem pretty good. You know, I know they scheduled really easy at the beginning of the year, but they mowed through a lot of that schedule, and they're a popular upset pick, which makes me think it won't happen.
I think surely Gonzaga wins. Like, an Gonzaga Elite Eight versus Will Wade would be something.
Gonzaga seems to have gotten a little bit of what I talked about with Virginia.
Yeah.
Kind of the last little bit of bias. Like, okay, Gonzaga, we'll throw you a bone here.
And then Kansas is just reeling, truly, truly reeling. I'm surprised they got a 4.
Are those boys supposed to be back? Healthy?
I think McCullers is.
But not Dickerson?
I don't know about Dickerson. I assume he will be, but I'm pretty sure that McCullers is.
Okay.
And, I mean, Utah State is really good. You know, they could – I mean, Purdue just – who knows? That's the thing. It's so hard, like, to project, because by the time, like, if Tennessee were to make the Elite Eight, who knows who they would be playing?
That's why it's kind of impossible to even have this conversation. Yeah. Because it's almost never going to work out the way it has. I think I saw a tweet that said a 1-2 seed hasn't matched up in the Elite Eight since 2019.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, like, not a huge sample size when you consider that COVID happened in 2020 and canceled the season, but that's 3 tournaments in a row. On the flip side, I was reading a tournament preview, and 63% of the 2 seeds have made it to the Sweet 16. I reckon that since the seeding started happening in 79, so 63% obviously means that 37% don't make it. 28 times, you know, since 79, at least one of the 2 seed has lost before the Sweet 16. That doesn't give me a lot of comfort. So, like, the difference between that and a 1 seed, I think the 1 seed was 84% of the time. So you have a bit of a drop off there. That 2-7 matchup is pretty scary.
The 2-7 matchup is scarier than the 8-9.
But I will say that I like our 7-10 that we potentially play, so I feel okay about that.
You're gonna have to beat good teams. I mean, it's that simple. Texas is not better than you are. You're a lot better than Texas. They have the guy from Oral Roberts, Max Abmas. But their big man got hurt, but I think he's going to be back. I'm not sure. Dylan Disu, Dysu.
You're the only person I've seen talk about this.
That he got hurt?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done a lot of research in it, but I keep saying they're a little banged up on the front line. It's just because I've seen you tweet it or talk about it in the Discord. Sorry.
So he
get to the bottom of it for me. Let's figure it out right now together.
He was a game time decision versus Oklahoma. I guess okay. They played them in the conference tournament. I have no idea. Let's look at game log here. Dylan Disu played at Vanderbilt. Did you have any recollection of this? I had no clue.
The name sounds familiar, but I don't know if it's from Vanderbilt or whenever I saw him at Texas.
He played 23 minutes on the 13th. He played last Wednesday, and they lost okay. to Kansas State.
So he should be healthy then, but at least ailing a little bit.
I think it's fair to say that, yeah.
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon. At FBITN.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. Got the bracket pool up and running for the patrons of Reed's Ranch. If you want in, Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. Throwing some money into the pot on top of it for all the new patron signups, which there are none this week, Seth.
That's okay. We press forward.
Let's hit some questions.
Brother Marwan, a.k.a. Wheezy, asks, every NCAA tournament win takes a win from the football team this coming fall. How many wins would you lock in? Example, 3 wins in the NCAA tournament locks in 9-3.
This is a good question.
It's a great question.
I'm somewhere between 0 and 1. Because, like, the only thing that really feels magical to me is a Final Four. But I'm not giving up 8-4 with my boy Nico.
Everything with Nico changes everything.
Yeah, if it was 8-4 with Joe Milton, I'd say I'd go 6-6.
Yeah, Nico changes everything. I mean, it's that simple.
Now, I'm only not saying 0 because I'm thinking about how embarrassing it would be for this team and Rick Barnes to get bounced by St. Peter's. I think I'd be willing to go 11-1, which gets you in the playoff, maybe even gets you a seat at the SEC championship game, means that you have at least gotten 2 really quality wins against 2 of the 3 of Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia, you know, or Florida, you know, throw in 3 of the 4, however you want to do it. I think I would go 11-1 just to avoid the embarrassment of getting knocked out in the first round as a 2 seed. Because you can't really come back from that as a basketball program, in my opinion, especially not with one with an aging coach that doesn't have many good years left in him.
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened to Missouri with Frank Haith. It was never the same.
Yeah, he killed him.
He killed him.
I mean, Kentucky hasn't really bounced back from being a 2 seed that got beat either.
Yeah. Yep. I think I agree with you.
So I'm going 1. An undefeated regular season in football would be cool. It would be pretty awesome, and maybe it's worth me saying 0, but I just think getting knocked out in the first round would just be so, so bad. Don't get me wrong. Losing in the second round wouldn't be much better, especially if it was someone like Texas or in a gross game against Virginia where you score 44 points.
Yeah.
I'm going with 1 final answer. Brother, just out of respect for my close friend Rick Barnes and my other close friend, Coach Greg Polinski. I would feel too bad for them if they lost game 1.
Brother B-Jack asks, which national media sports pundit would you like to stuff in a locker the most? Well, the answer is clearly Jay Billis.
I do hate him so much. Although I got to say that the Bear and his little Rick Barnes in March tweet.
Yeah, that dude sucks.
That did send me over the edge.
I'm still not over him saying that it should be held against Tennessee that we dropped 63 points on Missouri 2 years ago in football. Or whatever, however many points he scored, 66, whatever. We were throwing bombs with Joe Milton. And he's like, this should, you know, this should be held against them. What are they doing? We're going for style points, bro.
We let the backups play, which it clearly helped so much with Joe Milton's development. He was definitely the same quarterback when he became a starter again as he was in mop-up duty. But we kept Squirrel White from transferring by throwing him bombs in those games.
Brother Brett, very handsome man, asked for me, 1-1, game to 5. Who do you have the best chance to beat on this starting 5? I guess Santi, because I don't know that he could score 5 points. That was mean, wasn't it? That was mean.
Well, who else are you going to pick?
Is there another? That's the only answer.
You know, I, as long as you don't bite on the pump fake, I think it, don't bite on the pump fake and put a shot clock on there, and I think you might have a chance.
I feel a little bad about that, but he's the obvious answer. Brother Blue Moon Vol asks for both. Compare your confidence heading into this tournament as opposed to 2019.
Great question, BMV. Let me hop in my fucking time machine and go back to 2019.
Absolutely wrecked.
It's so different just because the story hasn't been written. I still have confidence just because we're still alive. I'm sure we had a lot of confidence going into 2019, but I don't think I remember picking Tennessee to go to the Final Four that year. I think we were just kind of in, if we go to the Elite Eight, we'll be really happy type of thing. Do you remember who our one seed was?
Virginia, that year? Wasn't it? It was Virginia.
Okay, yeah, it was Virginia. You're right. I think you guys remember, like, hey, you know, that just get to Virginia, take your chances. Whereas this year, I look at Purdue and think Tennessee can beat Purdue. I don't think we really thought we could score enough points to beat Virginia. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm playing the result. I don't know. But I still have confidence that this team is good enough. I'm sure we thought it in 2019 as well, though. Do you remember how you felt?
I remember the day of the Purdue game. I remember going to my parents' house straight home from work and just being like this immense just dread all day long over how nervous I was about that game. Like just this feeling of pure dread over another Sweet 16 game. Can we finally get past the Sweet 16? But I don't know that I felt great about it because the Iowa game was so, which I didn't even get to, I only watched the first half of the Iowa game.
Oh, you felt great.
I had gone to Buffalo that weekend and just scheduled my flights thinking, you know, I don't know when the games are going to be, blah, blah, blah. Because that was like the first time I'd ever gone to Buffalo. So I was like, surely I won't have to miss a second round game. And of course, we play the early game on that Sunday. I get to watch the first half in the Charlotte airport. In the second half, I text my best friend, Luke, he gives me updates the entire time. We were up like 25 or whatever.
And then you're holding on for dear life.
Yeah, and then I'm just like sitting there staring at my phone that entire flight thinking, there's no way, man. There's no way. And it goes to overtime. But we win, whatever. So I don't know. It's tough to say. It's like you said, that's 5 years ago.
That team was better metrically on offense. But I do think it kind of ran into something similar that this team is running into that we talked about with just the lack of depth.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember correctly, by the time the tournament rolled around, you felt okay about 6 guys, you know, the starters plus Lamonte. You sprinkled in Pons, you know, whatever. But, like, and at that point, what I will say pretty emphatically, BMV, is that I have more confidence in 2024 in Rick Barnes and his coaching than I did in 2019. Maybe that's unfounded, but I do feel like he's a little more malleable and a little bit more willing to not put Dalton Connect on the bench in overtime with four fouls if that's the case.
I don't think it's unfounded. I think he's a much better coach now than he was.
So I will say I have more confidence this year than in 2019. Not so much in the roster, not so much in the players, but I do have more confidence in Rick Barnes. And maybe that's going to age really, really poorly.
I also don't think we're quite as thin on the depth front as we're making it out to be. Awaka had a terrible game against State. Okay.
He's had a couple terrible games in a row.
He also had a really good run there for a little bit. I mean,
he did.
I think that, you know, I don't know that Ganey is really a black hole. Like, Ganey, he kept you in the Alabama game. You know, Meshack is a lockdown defender. I don't know that we're necessarily that thin on the depth front.
No, I just think that I can't pencil those guys in to be big time contributors, like, or to be ready to play. Like, you're right that they all can play, and there's a chance that you go into the tournament and all eight guys show up every night, or at least like six of your eight show up every night. And if that's the case, Tennessee's probably going to go to the Final Four and maybe win a national championship. But like, when right now, coming off of these back to back losses, when you say Toby Awaka, I don't have a lot of confidence. When you say Justin Ganey, I don't have a lot of confidence. Meshack, hit or miss. You know, there's a chance he can forget how to dribble at any moment. And, you know, I feel that way about Santi and Josiah as well. Not saying they can't play, because, yes, all eight guys have shown at different times this year they can play and play at a high level. It's just right now I've lost my confidence in them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I've 100% done a recalibration after the last two games. How could you not? And I think that for me, as of right now, and obviously the bracket is fluid, it changes depending on how the other games go. But for me, still right now, get to the second weekend and let's roll the dice. Like, would I have said that after we beat Auburn, Alabama, and South Carolina in a row? No, I would not have. But after the last two games, that's where I'm at right now. If you get to the Sweet 16, and if you're favored against that team you're playing, then let's go. Let's go and get to the Elite Eight.
Well, I will say that I'm confident Tennessee will be favored.
Yes.
In whatever game that is. If it's Creighton, it might only be like 2.5, 3-point favorites, but they will be favored.
Yeah.
How far does Tennessee have to go for you to feel good about the season?
The Elite Eight.
Okay. I put that poll question up on the station account, and it got 50% of the 1,500 votes.
I think that if you got to the Sweet 16 and you lost in overtime on, like, some bullshit like you did against Purdue, where, like, this guy is just unconscious, and I think that I could just be like, okay, whatever, it happened again. That doesn't – but a true success for me is the Elite Eight. And that is depending, obviously, on the other side of the bracket, because things change. If you got matched up with, you know, Kansas in the Elite Eight, I mean, I think you should beat them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's made it so frustrating on a couple of these games or a couple of these seasons that you've bowed out, is that you had Nevada and Kansas State waiting on you in the next round.
You had to beat a 9 seed to go to the Final Four in 2018. That was
FAU and Kansas State last year. You've had the bracket open up for you multiple times.
Well, they've lost to a lower seeded team 5 straight tourneys.
Yeah.
And people can say what they want about Rick Barnes, and that's fine. He invites it upon himself based on how he's done in the tournament. The only game that to me is truly unforgivable is Oregon State.
And I don't even think it was unforgivable in the way the teams were playing. If you want to talk about the talent on the team, like the coaching job that entire season, yeah. But like that team was cooked.
Yeah.
That team was joyless. And for the love of God, they were starting Oros Plavsic. And had that version of John Fulkerson as like the main offensive threat. Like, that was a poor coaching job.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree that your first thoughts on Rick Barnes' teams year by year goes immediately to the tournament loss?
I don't think that they necessarily do for year by year.
Okay. So like when I say 2019 Grant and Admiral, you think of what? Because my mind immediately goes to Purdue. When I think of Kenny Chandler, my mind goes to Michigan. Loyola for the 18 team. Now, maybe you could say like the Georgia game because that was fun winning the SEC championship.
18,
but like,
I think of sweeping Kentucky.
Okay.
Last year,
18, I think about Sister Jean, man.
Yeah, I know. Last year, I think of beating Duke.
Okay. So and you're a glass half full guy.
It just depends. I mean, the 2000, I still remember this vividly. It's funny that how things stay with you, but 2018 was the first time in so long we had been good. And we roll up and we sweep Kentucky. And I remember the thrill I had on that breakaway Admiral dunk. Just how fun that was to go in there and beat Kentucky at Rupp. So for that season, that's what I go to. For 19, it's tough to think about anything but Purdue. If I think about anything else from that season, it is the game at LSU, the loss.
Okay, so that season is more negative. Sam writes in saying that he thinks about the Gonzaga game.
I also think a lot about the Kentucky game in the SEC tournament, Grant hitting that corner three.
Yeah.
Lamonte hitting the three from the top of the key. Kennedy's team, I think about the Michigan loss. I mean,
I don't know if that's something that changes as we get older and further removed from it. I don't know. Because like I don't do the same thing to Bruce's teams. Like when I think of 08, I think about beating Memphis. I don't think about getting our ass kicked by Louisville. Maybe it's because you got your ass kicked by Louisville and it wasn't
even
a
close,
memorable game.
Yeah.
I don't even really think about, you know, getting beat by Butler in 06 or whatever it was. And hell, I don't even know if I could tell you who beat us in 07 without actually thinking about it. Was that Longwood or was
Wichita.
Butler Wichita? Butler and Wichita beat you back-to-back years? No, 06 was Ohio State, wasn't it?
Yeah, Wichita was 07.
And then, okay, so then you beat Butler in 2008. And then lost to Louisville. That's how that went, yeah. 06 is the year you blew the lead to Ohio State, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like that's what – I'm hoping that's not my lasting memory of this team. Whatever loss we run into, if we do run into one. Because it does kind of taint the Grant and Admiral years for me that just you had two of the most heartbreaking losses that you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, Loyola was just – that's one of those games where the shot went in and I just went out my parents' front door and started walking.
So you didn't see Bone Shot?
I guess I stayed for that and then I just took off walking. I remember vividly – their point guard pulling up and shooting it and just deep. This is nonsense. This is not, you know, deep within my soul. I knew it was going in. We had worked all that way to come back. Everything had gone against us. Like, that's the thing about Rick. The Purdue game, they showed up. The Loyola game, they fought and clawed and clawed and clawed back and finally took the lead on that Grant Williams and won. And it's just like, holy shit, we're doing it. We've come all this way, this dreadful game, we're going to win. And then I remember that little point guard shooting it and just knowing. And it was going in and it touched like every single part of the rim before it went in.
I remember having a calm about me and just thinking that Jordan Bone was going to hit the shot. That we were going to get a moment our own way back. And just after it misses, just kind of sitting there for a second and being like, really? Really, that's the way it ends? And then 19 was just anger. 18 was shock. 19 was anger. Anger at everybody. Anger at Lamonte for fouling. Anger at the refs for calling it. Anger at the refs for not giving us the out of bounds the play before. Then it turned into a lot of anger at Barnes for having Grant Williams on the bench in overtime. in his comments after the game where he kind of was like, well, it was a foul. Don't foul.
Yeah.
19 was a lot of anger.
Anger just that we staged this comeback. And when Admiral hit that three from like the next county, it just being like, dude, there's no way we're losing.
Vibes were so high. We had a watch party at Elkmont Exchange. You battled back from down, I believe 17. I think you had gotten down that far. Vibes were so high. And then Ryan Klein just kept raining those fucking threes, one after another.
The step back three over Grant. I mean, yeah. People can say whatever they want about Grant in the NBA. Grant signed like a $100 million contract in the NBA. Like, this dude was a baller. And Ryan Klein did a between the legs step back three in his eyes. And it's just like, what are we even doing?
As the shot clock goes down, as all of that mythical momentum was wearing orange. Yes, that's what happened. 22, I just remember feeling defeated against in 22, just like we're never going to get luck on our side. Like, how do we miss so many open jumpers? How do you go 2 for 18 on mostly wide open threes? And then last year, I was back to angry. I was angry last year at how soft you were for just letting FAU punk you.
At halftime of the FAU game, because we were up 5 at half, I believe.
That sounds right. 5 or 6.
I think it was like 27-22. And I just remember being like, we're not beating them by enough. Like, we're not beating them by enough. They're going to start hitting these shots. And just when they finally took the lead, you just melted.
All right, get us some more questions. Let's get back. Oh, God, why are we excited for this godforsaken tournament? That's really what are your favorite tournament memories? Let's go through favorite tournament memories, because give me one besides. I got two right now. I got Winthrop Lofton, you know, finally winning a game that you escaped as a 2 seed, and I got JP Prince locking up Evan Turner. My boy JP Prince locking him up. That's all I got.
Beating UConn in 98.
Okay.
When I was a little boy.
I don't really remember that one.
I watched it at my granddad's house, my granddad and grandmother's house, and I just remember being like, oh my goodness, we just beat the defending national champions. We had to beat an 8 seed of North Carolina, an 8 or 9. Stanford was the one. Someone can fact check me on this, but I believe Stanford was the one in Carolina with whatever the coach that was in between Dean Smith and like Bill Doherty or whatever. Guthridge, I think, was his name. Carolina was like an 8 or a 9, and that's who we had. They upset Stanford, so we had to beat an 8 or 9 Carolina in the Sweet 16. And, of course, we don't. But I just remember beating UConn to go to the Sweet 16 and just being, as a kid, being like, oh, my goodness. Because I think Khalid El-Amin was still on that team for UConn, the fat point guard. Do you remember him with Rip Hamilton?
I'll be honest. I was a college basketball super casual. Like, it was hard enough, you know, to get either one of my parents to care about like Tennessee football, much less basketball. Like, I remember the SEC like regular season championship, but like I just remember being at a sleepover when we lost to North Carolina and like keeping up with the game there. But like outside of that, I don't really remember much, to be honest.
So that one, you have Duke. Virginia was a nice little win. I listened to that one on the radio, though, going to the beach. That was the year we lost Ohio State.
Yeah, I remember watching. I didn't even get to watch that one. That one, I was on a cruise, and that one, like, that was before they put every game on, and you just kept seeing that we were dominating, but they never would switch the game over. It was the opposite when we lost to Ohio State. They had the same thing. We couldn't watch the game. We just had to watch the ticker above, and, you know, saw that we're up 20 at halftime. You're like, okay, good. And then, yeah, it got switched over to about like the 13-minute mark of the second half, just in time for us to melt down.
Yeah. Didn't we score like 121 points against Long Beach State one year?
I think that was the same year. No, it was American that year, right? You played American and then Virginia. Is that how that went?
We played American and then Butler and then Louisville.
Oh, okay. I think Long Beach State would have been
the American game.
Okay, then I think Long Beach would have been the same one that you beat Virginia the next round then.
That was fun.
I believe that's how that went. Who did we play before we got to play? Before we got, like, Georgetown had gotten upset the year
Ohio,
we went to.
We played, who did we play before Ohio? UMass. No, no, yeah. No, not UMass.
No, it wasn't UMass. UMass was the Conzo year.
San Diego State and Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, that's right. But no, then, like, knowing – I remember being so excited that, you know, that Georgetown lost.
Yep.
And you're like, hell yes, we're finally going to break through and get back to the Sweet 16 and take our chances. And that one was a pretty good memory. Just yep. kind of knowing that you were preordained to get to the Sweet 16. That's one of my good one of my good NCAA tournament memories.
Yep, that's a good one.
Okay. That's what we got a lot of bad stuff. We got to celebrate the good. The Duke win last year was pretty fun.
That was awesome. I mean, that truly was great. I know Kay wasn't the coach, but it's Duke. Olivier with the game of his life.
Being able to tweet out pictures of pigs and mud, that was pretty fun.
Seeing how mad people got at how we played. That was fun, although watching us play, not fun.
And then going from that team to shitting the bed and also just getting punched in the mouth by FAU, it does taint it a little bit, just to be honest.
They just melted last year. I mean, they melted yeah. once FAU finally took the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I do think, you know, I know some of the numbers said you were better without Zakai last year, but I do think that game goes differently if Zakai plays.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you lose to Duke. I don't know exactly, you know, maybe he wouldn't have had the size, and a part of us being able to beat Duke was just we were physically bigger and stronger, so maybe that changes if you got your little small point guard there running around. But I do think he would have answered the call to FAU's toughness, and I do think that him and Meshack, and they would have been up to the challenge there and gotten some rebounds.
Because it's tough to imagine this current team making a run without Zakai.
Yeah, like he's your second best player.
Yep. And you know he's going to bring it. So, yeah.
All right. Before we go, give me Garrick's question because he asked last week.
Yes. He would like to know. He wants to know what to do in Las Vegas.
Well, first of all, he asked if either one of us have ever been. Like, Garrick, are you new here? I've gone to Las Vegas probably like 5 times just since we started this podcast, or maybe like 7 times since we started the podcast.
Yeah, probably more.
Yeah. I went 3 times last year. So, yeah, definitely. More than 5 times since we started the podcast in 2016. So are you new here, Garrick? Do you actually pay attention? Do you just come to the tailgates?
Too busy watching Notre Dame football.
Yeah, is the Discord just a place for you to post about Notre Dame? Hell yeah, I've been to Vegas. As far as things to do, though, I'm not going to be a good answer there because I'm very basic when I go. I would say to make sure you go to Planet Hollywood and get you a Duke of Earl sandwich. The full Montague is good. It's the best in Vegas. I enjoyed the Wax Museum. I would say he's going on a bachelor party, so this might be different. But if you go with a woman, I would say go to a show. Take the time to go to a show, whether it be a comedian or like one of those Cirque du Soleil things. It usually is worth it. It usually is pretty fun. Pay the extra money to see somebody on their residency because the people out there are always really famous, or at least the modern people are worth the price of admission. As far as bachelor party goes, man, just go to the pool. The pool's fun. The pool's fun. Can't have a bad time at the topless pool. I believe it was at Caesars. Can't have a bad time there. Now, you're going in March. So, A, there's going to be a lot of dudes there for March Madness. B, it's still going to be pretty chilly, so maybe you don't want to do that. Also, I would say to make sure you buy your own liquor in the gift shop or stop at the liquor store on the way in because you're going to want to drink and do a lot of pre-gaming if you're drinking. You're going to want to do that in your room. Otherwise, they're going to tax you pretty good. You're going to be spending a lot of money. That's it. That's all I would say. I'm a pretty basic man when it comes to Vegas, but I do hope you have a great bachelor party. Guess my invitation got lost in the mail. No big deal. Me and Seth would have loved to have been there. The one time I went for March Madness opening weekend was one of the worst weekends of my life when it came to... I take that back. I can't say that because me and my pops had a good time. But I just remember we went out there for my 21st birthday. That was the day that Bruce got his ass absolutely reamed by Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I had to watch that with Michigan fans inside the sports book. And I went like 1-8 in my like college basketball bets. And my dad just stopped and asked. He said, I thought you liked sports. I thought you watched this. I was like, I do keep up with it. He's like, well, why can't you pick any winners? And I said, I don't know, Dad. I don't know. So then we just sat in the room and watched NCIS. And I never will forget him sitting there in his tidy whities in his bed and me on my other bed and just hoping he would offer me a couple more $100 to go down and gamble because I'm 21. He was funding the trip, and he's sitting there with his pen and pad just adding up all the cows he has and what he has to move around to get back all the money we lost.
That's awesome.
Yeah, couldn't win a damn game that time. It was a good weekend, though. All right, Seth, appreciate the hour. Glad I got to see you on video. That's an extra perk, too, for the patrons of Reed's Ranch. You get to see Seth's beautiful face on these recordings. I'll get this posted. All in all, Seth, where do you rank the vibes? How confident are you that we at least make it out of the first weekend? Scale of 1 to 100.
85 to 90, somewhere in between there.
That sounds about what I would say too. 85 to 90. Little high.
There's just some variance you can't account for. And
yeah, I'll go 80. I feel 85% sure. All right. Love you. I'll get this posted. We'll talk next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Be a star, they said. They say you gon' take us far, they said. They say everywhere you go, they gon' know your name. Who cares if you get lonely, long as you're famous? Don't you want money and the cars, they said. Expensive liquor and cigars, they said. I mean, what's better than having everything that you dreamed of? Long as they need you, you don't need love. Just be great. Put on for your city, for your state. And whatever you do, just make us proud. Ain't gonna be no crying from the clouds. Yeah, they say, just be great. Who cares if there's too much on your plate? Don't make no mistakes and hide your pain. No rain. Whatever you do, just make us proud. And ain't gonna be no crying from the clouds. Star, they said. They said, don't waste your tomorrow, they said. They say you're the one that's chosen to make it out. Gotta seize the moment, don't let us down. Just gotta play a part, they said. In history, you'll be a part of it. I mean, what's better than having everything that you dreamed of? Long as they need you, you don't need love. Just be great. Put on for your city, for your state. And whatever you do, just make us proud. Ain't gonna be no crying from the clouds. Yeah, they say, just be great. Who cares if there's too much on your plate? Don't make no mistakes and hide your pain. No rain. Whatever you do, just make us proud. And ain't gonna be no crying from the clouds. Way too far out in the world, but I still put on for my city. I was handing out too much milk money, too much kitten, ass and titties. I lost my voice like a pastor, faster than a Harlem shimmy. But I guess that's what you get for trying to make heartbreak pretty. They say life's a bitch, and then you die. So please, if you pen in my eulogy, just say I tried. And that's word to Phineas, just inside. And if I don't wake up in heaven, then it was one hell of a run.
Myself up next to it. I fuck up some commas just a dot dot dot. What's the rest of it? This what clean looked like when clean took life and made a mess of it. Had to realize I'm just blessed to it. You can't take it all with you, but you can remember the best of it. I pray for peace within myself and no more regrets with it. Cause when I looked at my soul in the Mississippi, it reflected it. And if you know me right next to it, I'm everything you thought I was. I'm everything I thought I was. It was everything I thought it was. It was everything I thought it was.